السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa and those listening over receivers, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give you the best of rewards for coming and sitting for this majlis on such a cold winter night. Each and every person who leaves his home for acquiring the knowledge of Deen is in the path of Allah Ta'ala. He is going for the purpose of his Islah, he is in the path of Allah Ta'ala. He is going for Salat, he is in the path of Allah Ta'ala. He is going to assist and help somebody that is in need, he is in the path of Allah Ta'ala. He is going to give Dawah towards Islam, towards Sharia, towards Deen, he is in the path of Allah Ta'ala. So many different ways a person can acquire the blessings of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this is a majlis of Islah. Now there was an ayat of the Quran Sharif which we were discussing a fortnight ago. But tonight I want to discuss something else. It just has to be discussed because whilst we are replying to letters, we come across certain statements made by certain people which are definitely very, very dangerous statements. And it's not something new that I am discussing. I have discussed these type of issues many, many times in the past also. But because it was a recent one, just this morning again, therefore I decided to talk something about this issue of dua. That it seems that generally people today have lost their hope and their faith in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. When they are making dua, then they believe that the moment we make dua, we must see the results of that dua. We must see the results of that dua. As if they are demanding from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that you have to give this to me today and today. And if you don't give it, then I will become annoyed and displeased with you. And then I will not make your ibadat. Then I will not raise my hands before you. Then I will not put my forehead before you. I will be angry with you. I will cut up this relationship with you. And that is very, very apparent and clear in the type of statement that they make. In fact, they clearly state that. The person states, I'm sick and tired of making dua. So if you're sick and tired of making dua, then I always say the person who is sick and tired of making dua, so then he must look for some other Allah who can fulfill his needs, his wishes, his desires. And also the person states that first I made every material effort to accomplish my ends and my goals. And then I made plenty of dua, but nothing happened. So I've lost faith and I'm sick and tired now, na'uzu billah, of making dua. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So where else the person must go now? If he's tired of Allah Ta'ala, then he must find some other Allah Ta'ala who has given him life, who has given him the strength in his body, and who has given him that intelligence, who has given him that all those material ni'mats and possessions. Who has given him all that? Then return it to Allah Ta'ala. Say, oh Allah, I have lost my faith and trust in you. You don't accept du'as. So therefore take away my sight, take away my hearing, take away my speech, because I'm searching for some other Allah now. So will anybody else come to his assistance and help? So many a times I have mentioned this, that we must not be hasty when we are making dua. There must be no haste. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself has mentioned that, that Allah ta'ala accepts duas. He accepts the duas of any person that's making dua, as long as he's not asking for something that is sinful or breaking up of family ties. Then Allah ta'ala fulfills, Allah ta'ala accepts that dua, as long as he is not hasty. So the Sahaba ikram radiallahu anhu majmain, they asked, Ya Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what does that hasty mean, that he must not be hasty? Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the person says that I have been making dua for so long and it has not yet been accepted. If the person says that, then that means that he is hasty. He wants to see the results immediately. 187-211, remove your car. So we should never be hasty, because so many times now you have heard, and of course this is not the only gathering that listens to this. These tapes go far and wide. And I was in Mauritius now. So many people, they told me that, Maulana, we listen to you on the radio station, and so many tape people have got your tapes, and so many people have brought about changes after listening to those programs. Allah Ta'ala's fazal ihsan. So this reaches far and wide. So therefore, I am saying that we have heard so many times that Allah Ta'ala, when He accepts a dua, it does not mean that He will give you exactly what you want. Exactly what we are asking Allah Ta'ala, if He has to give to everybody, we can understand how chaotic the world will become. How chaotic the world will become if every person has to be blessed with everything that he asks and anything that he asks. Then there will be chaos in the world. Which person will ask anything less than a couple billion or trillion? Anybody will be there. And if every person has that much, then as you have heard many a times, agar tu hai raja, to main hu rani, to phir kon bharega pani? Because everybody will say that I am rich, I got plenty, why should I work for you, you should work for me. Why should I polish your shoes, you should polish my shoes. Why should I wash your car, you should wash my car. Why should I sweep the street, you should sweep the street. So Allah Ta'ala has got a system. It doesn't mean anybody becomes superior or inferior because of the type of work that they do. The person sweeping the street can be a great wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In the eye of Allah ta'ala, it is only inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. The person who's got taqwa, Allah ta'ala holds him in esteem. It's not what family background you have, or how much of wealth you have, or what work you are doing. So that is a different issue. But Allah ta'ala has got a system. Now if every person has to make dua, and whatever he asks has to be given to him, there'll be chaos. So Allah Ta'ala accepts the dua, means after that, whatever is good for that person, Allah Ta'ala will give it to him. Sometimes He will give him exactly what he has asked for. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala will give him something else better than that. Sometimes Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will remove some difficulty, some trial, some test, some problem that was going to come upon him. But he was making a lot of dua for sihat, for good health. So his health remained the same. But in the meantime, some accident that was going to take place in which he would have smashed his head and broken his bones, Allah Ta'ala is aware of that. So because of that dua, Allah Ta'ala removed the other bala. So he's not at a loss, his dua has been accepted. And sometimes Allah Ta'ala may give that person tawfiq of some amal, which the person was never doing in his life. He was not making 5 times namaz. Now he's making a lot of dua, Ya Allah, give me sihat and afiyat. Give me good health, I'm sick, cure me of my ailment. Or I'm in poverty, remove my poverty. I'm trying everything, I'm going to the shop, I'm going to the marketplace, I'm using my intelligence, I'm burning the midnight oil, but I don't seem to be coming out of my debts, and I don't seem to be coming out of my problems. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accepts the dua. But something that he was not doing before, some ibadat, some zikr, some tilawat, now the person, because of that dua, Allah Ta'ala gives him the tawfiq of tahajjud sometime. He would have never got up for tahajjud, but those difficulties brought him to tahajjud. Aap pata kar lai mujhko mauj-e-ranj-o-gham. Some people, Allah Ta'ala brings them to his door with grief, with sorrow, with pain, with difficulty, with hardships, with problems. They don't come like that. So Allah Ta'ala puts them into some kind of difficulty, hardship, problem. Out of love, Allah Ta'ala wants to make that person change his life. Allah Ta'ala wants him to benefit from the unlimited treasures of Allah Ta'ala. So now he put him into some difficulty so that the person comes on to tahajjud, comes on to some dua, zikr, tilawat. Now the person is crying before Allah Ta'ala. So those waves of troubles and problems brought him to the door of Allah Ta'ala. So is that not a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala? Is only wealth a ni'mat? So that poverty became a blessing for him. It brought him to the door of Allah Ta'ala. So sometimes Allah Ta'ala gives something better in return. And sometimes Allah Ta'ala stores it for the akhirat. That in the hereafter when the people will see what they will get, those palaces and everything else in Jannat, they will ask, what is all this for? Is it because of those du'as which you made in the world, which you thought were not accepted? So we accepted those du'as and see what we're giving you here now. At that time the person will wish not one du'a of his was accepted. So you can imagine what he will get. So we must make du'a with yaqeen that Allah Ta'ala is listening and he is the only one who can remove our difficulties, our problems, and he can bless us with what we are asking for. He is the only one. There's nobody else. Our lives are in whose hands? Is it in the surgeon's hand? Will the surgeon give us an extension of life? The surgeon can, after operation, if Allah Ta'ala wills, then you get good health or better health than what you were in when you were sick. That's about all he can do. He can improve the quality, that is if Allah Ta'ala wills. Otherwise that same surgery will land the person at the Qabristan. But he cannot extend the life of the person. He cannot extend the life of the person. Look at those great, great surgeons. They couldn't extend their own lives. They did bypass operations on thousands of people. And the first person to do the heart transplant in South Africa. But was he able to extend his life? And how many of them who had great knowledge of medical science, that they suffered from cancer and died? They suffered from other kinds of sicknesses and died. They couldn't save themselves. So life is in the hands of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and He is the only one who can fulfill those needs, those wishes, those desires. But first of all, we have to condition our minds that our dua, if it is accepted, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give us something. Something we will get. Either the same thing we are asking or something better or for the akhirat, or some bala and difficulty went, but something we got straight away in return. We must have that yaqeen. Another Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he says that when tears flow from the eyes, that's a receipt from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That your du'as have been accepted. When we go and deposit our monies, or when we go and pay somebody accounts, then we say we want receipt to show that it has been paid. Allah Ta'ala sends a receipt. Tears flow from the eyes, it's a receipt. Your dua has been accepted. And some people say that we can't seem to shed tears. We try, but we can't shed tears. So the tears which flow from the eyes, that's a bonus. The real tears are that which flows in the heart. The real tears are that which flows in the heart of the person. The shame, the regret, the remorse that he expresses within himself. What did I do? I should not have done this. I displeased my Allah Ta'ala. So now that regret, that shame, that remorse, that's a tears. And Allah Ta'ala accepts that. So the person must never become hasty, mustn't be hasty. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When my servants ask you, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, about me, then tell them, inform them that I am close to them. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. The meaning of which is that whenever a person supplicates, when he makes dua, when he calls upon Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala responds to his call. Allah Ta'ala answers his dua. But then we know of conditions always. We say everything is subject to conditions. We are living in a world of business. So what do they say? This car is guaranteed for 100,000 kilometers and 3 years subject to. In everything they'll be subject to. And in there they'll have so much of exclusions that you'll be left without anything. The whole guarantee will be left without anything. But they will make subject to. The person will be told that this fridge, this microwave, everything is guaranteed for a period of time, subject to condition that you are not negligent in its usage. The car, you must not be negligent. You must make sure that you've got sufficient petrol, you've got sufficient oil, you've got everything cared for. You must not purposely do things which will cause damage to the car. If you are going to be negligent and purposely cause damage to the engine, then our guarantee will not be valid. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala also promises that I will accept your du'as. But then the condition subject to that fal yu'minu bi, then bring iman on me. Fal yastajibu li wal yu'minu bi. So you also fulfill my commands. Allah Ta'ala says, you fulfill my commands. You also listen to me. Whatever is my will and desire, you fulfill that. And believe in me, have faith in me, have trust in me, have iman in me, have yaqeen in me. So these are the conditions that Allah Ta'ala makes. That if we fulfill those conditions, that we obey Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And the bottom line is this, that the majority of us who make du'as, it is for nothing else except dunya, dunya, dunya. That's all. That's what we make du'a for. There's nothing wrong. You can ask for the best of this world and the best of akhirat. Atina fil dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana. But what we must ask for is hasana, the goodness. But our du'as, or our zikr, our tilawat, our ibadat, our wazifas, most of it is conditional. We are making condition with Allah Ta'ala. Ya Allah, I will read this wazifa. I will make tilawat of the Quran Sharif. I will make nafil namaz. I will give sadaqat. I will do this, I will do that. But, oh Allah, you must fulfill all these needs of mine. And if I don't see it getting fulfilled, then finish, chutti. Then I will leave you. Why must I waste my time then? Nauzubillah. That is what is happening. That ikhlas is gone. We are not doing it for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. And this is what I've been emphasizing all the time. That if these people who are losing their hope and their faith and their trust in Allah Ta'ala, and they say our du'as are not accepted, if only they had ikhlas and sincerity in their du'as, Allah Ta'ala would have shown them the results and the fruits of their du'as. They would have had inside yaqeen that my du'a has been accepted, and see what Allah Ta'ala gave me in return, although I didn't get what I asked for. But Allah Ta'ala will show it to them within a week, 2 weeks, or sometime it takes long. Look at Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And when is he meeting Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam? After how many years? Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, after how many years is taking his people and crossing the Red Sea? You think they didn't make dua that Ya Allah give us najat from Firaun? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, 3 solid years, and this is some example that I've been giving many, many a times. That the Prophet of Allah, who was the closest to Allah, Badas Khuda Buzruk Tui, Qissa Mukhtasar, La Yumkinu Sana Kama Kana Haqquhu, Badas Khuda Buzruk Tui, Qissa Mukhtasar. We cannot praise you as you deserve praise. After Allah, you are the greatest, Qissa Mukhtasar. Closest to Allah Ta'ala, with whose du'as so many people received cure from their sicknesses. So many people received different kinds of ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala because of the dua of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And immediate, no rain, Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam makes dua, the person is going and he sees it's raining there in his village. The person hasn't got sight, Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam makes dua, he gets sight. So many different people came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam for different purposes, and they asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to make dua. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made dua, and Allah Ta'ala fulfilled their needs or whatever they had come for. And yet he is making dua for, but 3 solid years go by. Is it something simple, something ordinary, that the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, the greatest after Allah Ta'ala, for whom the whole world was created, the universe was created, Jannat was created for whom Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala brought into existence mankind and everything else. And he is praying and he's praying and he's praying, and it takes 3 years until they even have to go through such hardships that they have to chew leaves of trees for survival or chew leather. Can we imagine the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala is being stoned in Taif, his blood is flowing, and in these 3 years of boycott, what kind of hardships? What must have crossed their minds? When the little baby is crying for milk and saying, Al-Atash, Al-Atash, Ummi, Al-Atash, my beloved mother, I'm thirsty, but there's nothing, no milk to give that child. If we had been with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we would have left him and ran away. We would have said that what kind of Nabi of Allah Ta'ala you are, that we are with you and we are stuck here for 3 years. Where is that promise that you are making, that du'as are accepted, and especially your du'a? So what was all that for? To give us a lesson who are going to come after him, that you must not be hasty. And look after that, when did we see the fruits of those du'as that he had made then? The fruits of those du'as were seen after he made hijrat to Madinah Tayyibah, and after the battle of Badr and battle of Uhud and battle of Trench and all those things, then comes Fatah Makkah. And then within a short space of time, the whole of Arabia, everybody is a Muslim. And the empires after that fall at the feet of the Muslims. But look at the first test that they had to go through. But not one of them left Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that what is the sense of making dua all the time? 3 years have gone by and we are making dua, dua, dua. Did anybody say that? They did what they were told to do. They fulfilled the conditions. They fulfilled the terms of the contract with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that our job is to please Allah Ta'ala, to obey him, to fulfill his commands. After that, Allah Ta'ala will decide what is best for us and he will give it to us. But for them came severe tests, and for us it's no more like that. Allah Ta'ala knows our weakness. Therefore, very quickly Allah Ta'ala gives us things in return. If he's not giving exactly what we are asking, he will give us things in return which will make us feel pleased and happy. And we will realize that this is because of some du'as. How many times we say, a miracle happened, a miracle happened. I got saved miraculously. What a miracle happened in my life, Maulana. I'm such a sinful person, and what a miracle happened. Now, what is that miracle that happened? If the person knows he's very sinful, and if he is indeed sinful too, I'm not talking about the pious and the righteous ones. But so many times in their lives, they experience certain incidents which they themselves term as miraculous incidents. And they say also that we were so sinful and we can't believe that this happened. I just don't know how it happened, how I got saved just within seconds. I could have lost my life. I could have drowned, and from out of the blue somebody comes out and pulled my hand through a rope and pulled me out or something. Now what are all those miracles that they are talking about? That is the dua that they were making for something else. Those du'as that they were making for something else which was not fulfilled. I'm talking about the believers. Now they were asking Allah Ta'ala for removal of some pain or some suffering, but outwardly it was not happening. And now suddenly after 5 years, 10 years, 3 years down the line, some incident takes place and they themselves say, miraculous, miraculous. So what is that miraculous? That is what the du'as which they were making, Allah Ta'ala removed some bala, some difficulty, some hardship that they were going to face. So for a person to say that I was made a lot of du'as and it didn't work and that's why now I lost faith in Allah Ta'ala and I'm sick and tired of du'as, so then the person must search for some other Allah. Islam is not in need of such kind of people that they get tired of Allah Ta'ala. Does Islam need such kind of people? We need Islam, we need Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala doesn't need us. If the entire mankind has to commit kufr, Allah Ta'ala forbid, then how will that affect the greatness of Allah Ta'ala? Will it affect it in any way? Nothing. Yes, Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself, he has mentioned in the ahadith many things why du'as are not accepted. Now we are talking about those du'as which are not accepted. Allah Ta'ala accepts du'as. And I mentioned to you the things that you get in return. But there are certain things that we ask for and the du'as are also not accepted. amongst which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned about haram, that a person is undertaking a long journey, his clothes are dust laden, his hair is disheveled, and he's making Ya Rab, Ya Rab. Now normally under such conditions, that person's crying and that person's dua is accepted. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the person's dua is not accepted. Why? Says because his clothing is from haram. His food is from haram. His drink is from haram. So where is his dua going to be answered by Allah Ta'ala? So one of the major causes of dua not reaching the stage of acceptance is haram in our system. The only thing that we know of haram is chicken, that it must be halal. The person will be sitting in a bar, but he wants to find out if the chicken is halal. In the casinos, they go there. But beforehand, they make sure that some halal certificate is issued to that restaurant there so that the person can eat halal. But that gambling and all, they won't worry about. And then again, there's masail of sharia. How many transactions, little this side or that side, and it makes it haram. The person thinks that I did it properly, that I didn't steal anybody's money. But that's not sufficient, you didn't steal anybody's money. There are so many things that make it and a transaction according to sharia haram. The person says, I don't charge interest, but the transaction is structured in such a way that is nothing but interest. So now all his life he's eating interest and he's saying, I don't charge interest. That is why Nabi Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to take a walk in the bazaars, in the marketplace, and he used to ask masail. Goes to the shop of a person and asks him on masla of business. Now the person doesn't know the whip of Hazrat Umar was very well known. He gives him a few lashes and sends him go and learn. Then open business. We find out all the rules and regulations of the government before we enter into any venture. So what about the sharia? Shouldn't we be finding out the masail of sharia? So that we structure our business properly according to sharia principles and guidelines. Then we will see barakat in that. Otherwise Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the person's nourishment, his clothes, is the meaning of the hadith sharif. His clothes, his food, his drink, his nourishment, everything is from haram. So how can he expect now acceptance of his dua, that Allah Ta'ala must accept his dua? And if duas are accepted, outward acceptance, if the person sees, in spite of his disobedience, he is disobedient, he doesn't want to fulfill the conditions, he is continuing in his life of sin and vices and evils, but he is seeing plenty of wealth coming, plenty of ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala flooding his life, and that is when we all say, Alhamdulillah, Shukar Alhamdulillah, progressing, progressing. Plenty of prosperity. Even though the person is disobedient to the extreme, but when he looks at what he has got around him, then he thinks that he is prospering and he is progressing and is enjoying prosperity and happiness. But that is a danger signal. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ. When he forgot to heed those advices, just the meaning and gist of that verses. When the person is first given some kind of test and trial, some punishment, some azab, some disaster, some calamity, but the person fails to heed those advices, it doesn't change. Then instead of continuing with those punishment and with the azab, Allah Ta'ala, what does he do? After that, he gives that person plenty of good things. Everything starts flooding in now. فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Everything. From all sides now he sees a lot of good things coming. Good health, plenty of wealth and business booming and everything. So he believes that if Allah Ta'ala was unhappy and displeased with me, then why must he give me all these things? So it shows my Allah is extremely pleased with me. And he argues with other people now. that if Allah was pleased with you, he would have given all this to you. So it shows he's pleased with me. And I repeat that there's nothing wrong if Allah Ta'ala gives a person plenty of wealth, there's nothing wrong. As long as he makes it wasila and a means of the hereafter. But if not, and he continues in his sinful life, then Allah Ta'ala says, when the person is in the midst of his enjoyment and pleasures, when the person really is enjoying himself, in the midst of that, Allah Ta'ala suddenly calls them to account, and they are thrown in complete bewilderment after that. Finished, they are caught off guard. Kafat is pulled from beneath their feet. Some tsunami or something after that takes away everything. Or the person's life becomes miserable after that. So the person mustn't be too happy that I make dua, everything accepted, but I don't make namaz, I don't give zakat, I don't fast, I go to the gambling den, I go to the casinos, I go to the rave clubs, I do everything wrong, but look at Allah Ta'ala, what he's giving to me. So that is a very dangerous thing. So sometimes Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he tests the person. And sometimes he doesn't accept that dua because of that haram which is entering his system all the time. We have to purge our system of haram. And that doesn't get purged by just making tawbah istighfar in the masjid. If it's the rights of people, if we have devoured the properties of people, if we have taken that which didn't belong to us as inheritance, then of course the person has to return that. No matter what happens, he will have to return to whomsoever, whatever is due. And then if he makes dua, he'll see the effects of that dua. In fact, Allah Ta'ala will then open doors of sustenance and give him such barakat that he will be shocked and surprised that where all this is coming from, at the moment I made up my mind that I want to pay everybody every cent that I owe. And see how Allah Ta'ala after that starts providing. But then again, subject to, as we say, exceptions, don't go towards interest, borrowing. If not, it is like taking poison on the one hand and taking vitamin tablets for good health. The person is taking multiple vitamins, he wants good health, and he also drinks poison with it. What's going to happen to him? So duas are something that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala accepts. If he himself says, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ دُعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ, Allah Ta'ala himself is saying, call upon me, beg of me, ask me, make dua, supplicate, I will respond to the call. I will answer your dua. I will listen to you. Allah Ta'ala himself is saying that. So first thing is that we have to condition our minds, that bring ikhlas in our dua. It must not be like bargaining with Allah Ta'ala, that you do this, then I will pray. If you don't do that, then I won't pray. If you fulfill this wish of mine, then I'll make ibadat. If you don't fulfill this wish of mine, then I will leave you. Then you think Allah Ta'ala will be bothered about us. That person who is entering into such kind of agreement with Allah Ta'ala. And then he says, I'm tired, sick and tired. Furthermore, I replied to that person, I don't know who he is, but I get emails, different names, that you yourself mentioned that you tried everything materially possible to get out of this problem of yours for which you were making dua also afterwards. But you didn't come out. So it shows that you tried two things. One side, materially, whatever you could have tried, you tried. But when that failed, then you turned towards some dua. Now when that dua also to you, it did not work, so therefore you left the dua too. So what are you left with now? Because you tried everything materially, and now you're going to leave Allah Ta'ala also. So now are you going to bow down before some idol, which is going to fulfill your wishes and desires? What are you going to do now? Where are you going to go? Is there anyone for you besides Allah Ta'ala? So change your niyat, change your intention. Now make your zikr, tilawat, ibadat, duas, everything for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, and then see the results. Up till now you were doing it with a motive. Now do it for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. In this trip to Mauritius, one young person, when I was leaving, so he's telling me, Maulana, one statement of yours will stick in my mind until my dying day, and I cannot forget you. So what is that statement? So he was going on and on, that I did this for my parents, and I did this for my family, and I did this and I did that, but they are always critical and they do not respond in the way that I treat them, and this and that. And he was just going on and on. So I told him that whatever khidmat, whatever service, whatever you do for the sake of, for your family, for your parents, do it for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Don't do it in expectation of something in return. Don't do it for expectation that they must also now return. If I give you a gift, then you must also return a gift. If I smile and talk to you, you must smile and talk to me. If I am good to you, then you must be good to me. Nothing. You must follow Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teaching. The person who does bad to you, also do good to him. Nevertheless, so I told him, I said, that you are talking about doing this, doing that, and you're not getting any kind of compliments or any kind of acknowledgement or any kind of appreciation in return. So the reason is that you are doing it not for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. So the statement that he was talking about, I told him, I said, do for Allah's pleasure. Allah Ta'ala will give you from His treasure. Bas. Do for Allah's pleasure, Allah Ta'ala will give you from His treasure. That's all. You do it for His pleasure, Allah Ta'ala will now give you from His treasure. So he's saying, this will stick in my mind till my dying day. I said, Alhamdulillah, at least somebody in Mauritius will remember me till his dying day. Nevertheless, Alhamdulillah, many, many young people came up and they said that this is the first time that we really felt like getting out of our sins and so many things that we never even considered to be sinful. Now at least we realized. So we have to do it for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. Then He will give from His treasure. But if this person is doing something and after that he is saying that I made du'as and I don't seem to be getting the results, so I am sick and tired of Allah Ta'ala, so where else is he going to go? Who else is there for us besides Allah Ta'ala? Allah Ta'ala, is there anyone else for us besides him? So I explained to this young person that this is what now you must do. Condition your mind first. Believe in Allah Ta'ala firmly and strongly. That he is listening. Allah Ta'ala is the only one who can fulfill our needs, our desires, our wishes. And Allah Ta'ala has promised that He will accept our du'as. But then, as I said, that in all guarantees also there are exceptions and there's conditions. Especially the cars, we all know. They say it's guaranteed 100,000 kilometers in 3 years. But if there is any damage to the engine because of your negligence, then we are not going to guarantee that. We are not going to fulfill the conditions of this guarantee. So if we are negligent, do not want to fulfill the ahkam and the laws of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and then we say that we are going through this suffering and that problem and that hardship, so then we must blame ourselves. But if that hardship, that suffering, that difficulty is a test from Allah ta'ala, then believe me that inside our hearts Allah ta'ala will still give us sukoon, irrespective of what kind of test and trial. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in all his suffering, but he kept on saying, Ahad, Ahad, Allah is one. And I just mentioned to you that 3 solid years of boycott, the time came when the Sahaba Ikram with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his family, the time comes when they have to chew leather and for survival. But not one person is giving up Islam. Why? Because Islam had entered the depths of their hearts. And they knew that our Allah ta'ala is pleased with us. This is a test from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Once again, that's something that you have heard many times, but if it just comes to mind, I'm not going to leave it out. That the condition of the Sahaba ikiram, their lives were such that they were not concerned about what the people are saying, what the family thinks of us, and what our government thinks of us, and nothing. They were not concerned about the happiness and the wealth and the happiness of the people. That people must be happy. We must do everything haram, anything wrong, as long as people stay happy. That was not their concern. And if people became displeased, they were not concerned about that. Their only concern was Allah Ta'ala must not become displeased with us. Whatever is the law of Allah Ta'ala, we must fulfill, irrespective of what difficulty and hardship we go through, because it's a law of Allah Ta'ala, so we must fulfill. Laakh aaye musibat to parwa nahi, laakh toote sitam uska shikwa nahi. Laakh aaye musibat to parwa nahi, laakh toote sitam uska shikwa nahi. Chahe badle zamana nahi uska gham, aap badle to apna thikana nahi. No matter how much of difficulties, hardships, problems, trials come in the path of Allah Ta'ala, in the propagation of the deen of Allah Ta'ala, in the fulfillment of the ahkam of Allah Ta'ala, we are unconcerned. Multitude of problems can come. Laakh aaye musibat, laakh toote sitam uska shikwa nahi. The whole world can turn away from us, but oh Allah, and that is what had happened at that time when that boycott had taken place. It was as if the whole of Arabia had turned against them. The whole world had turned against them. But what was their condition? They say, we are unconcerned. Aap badle to apna tikana nahi. Oh Allah, if you have to turn away your glance of rahmat and maghfirat from us, then we will be destroyed. Don't turn away your glance of rahmat from us, your mercy from us. So in the acceptance of dua, there are exceptions also. One of it is that if you are not going to make amar bil maruf and nahi anil munkar, invite towards good and prohibit from evil, within our homes how much of things are carrying on which are not right, which are haram, which are forbidden. But do we have the himmat and the courage to stop the... Do we have the himmat and courage to tell our own children today that make your salat, get up, it's time for fajr? Or to get rid of those things which have entered our homes, which are destroying the morals of our children? We don't have the himmat. Then in our bazaars, in our marketplaces, in our shops, in our governments, everywhere. So if we don't have amar bil maruf and nahi anil munkar, then even your pious ones, your righteous ones, they will make duas. Allah Ta'ala will not accept those duas. That's an exception again. So we mustn't be negligent. We mustn't eat haram. And must make amar bil maruf nahi anil munkar, and then see how Allah Ta'ala accepts the du'as. And then again, as I mentioned, that the du'as acceptance means that He'll give you the same thing that you asked, or something better in return, or will remove some difficulty and bala, or Allah Ta'ala will keep it for the hereafter, and He will give us in the akhirat that which no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and the thought of which also hasn't crossed any person's mind. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us such a bond with Him, such a connection with Him. And this will only come when we have the love of Allah Ta'ala in our hearts. When we are going to have love for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then we are not going to look at the difficulties, the trials and the tests, because it is coming from one whom we love. From the beloved anything comes, the person is prepared to accept it. Even if it is hardship or difficulty, but is prepared to accept it. What people don't do for the love of some woman with whom they are in an illicit relationship, what kind of extremes they go to just to make that illicit beloved happy. So what about our Allah, who has given us our life, our health, our wealth, our sight, our hearing, our speech? We don't want to accept anything that is in the form of a test and trial. We want only halwa, we don't want no balwa. So how can that come? May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give me, give you and the ummat the tawfiq of amal. Amal se banti hai zindagi, ye jannat bhi, jahannam bhi, ye khaki apni fitrat mein na nuri hai, na nari hai. Inshallah, there'll be a zikr majlis on Thursday night. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. اللهم ربنا يا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا غياث المستغيثين يا راحم المساكين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. Oh my beloved Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Oh my Rahim Allah, O my Kareem Allah, Oh, my most forgiving Allah, most compassionate, loving, caring Allah. Oh, my most beautiful Allah, forgive each and every one of us. We are extremely sinful servants of yours. Ey mere Allah, hum gunegar hai, siyakar hai, badkar hai, mujrim hai, khatakar hai, sab kuch hai bande magar tere hai. Tere siwa hamara koi sahara nahi, tere siwa koi hamara nahi. There is no one for us besides you, my beloved Allah. Where are we going to go? Ya Allah, whether we go east or west, north or south, deep down the ocean or up above the heavens, the kingdom is all yours. My beloved Allah, where do we go? There is no one for us besides you. If you have to turn away your glance of rahmat and mercy from us, my beloved Allah, agar tu ne nigahe rahmat pher li, to tu bata ke phir hum gande jayega. If you have to turn away your glance of rahmat and mercy from us, where do we go, my beloved Allah? Which other door is there that we can tap? Which other home is there in which we can go and beg? By Allah, if a dog is kicked from one butcher, it can go to a next one. If a beggar is chased from one home, he can still go to another. But if you have to turn away your glance of rahmat, then it's nothing but destruction for us. Forgive our major sins, our minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. My beloved Allah, forgive us, our parents, our wives and children, our brothers and sisters, our family members, and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My beloved Allah, don't put us through any trials and tests. We are extremely weak servants of yours. Hey, mere Allah, hum bahut hi zaeef, kamzor, natawa hai. Hamari azmaish mat farma. Don't test us, my beloved Allah. Don't test us in this world. Don't test us in the qabr. Don't test us in the akhirat. Cause us to cross full sirat like lightning and enter into jannat without any reckoning in the company of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My beloved Allah, bless us with good health, spiritual health and physical health. My beloved Allah, we are sick and ailing. We are spiritually sick and we are physically ill. Cures of all our ailments, diseases and sicknesses. My beloved Allah, clean our hearts of malice, of pride, of arrogance, of jealousy, of envy, of evil passions and desires. Make us yours and become ours. Make us yours and become ours. Agar ek tu nahi mera, to koi shay nahi meri. Jo tu mera, to sab mera, falak mera, zameen meri. Koi mujhse puche, main kya mangta hoon? Main apne khuda se khuda mangta hoon. Wo ho jaye mera, main ho jao uska. Yehi raat din main dua mangta hoon. My beloved Allah, those who are in financial difficulties, bless them with plentiful of halal risk and remove the difficulty. Those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Those who are weak, give them strength. Ya Allah, remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems of the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya Allah, we acknowledge that it's because of our sins that we are suffering around the globe. But my Allah, don't look at our sins. Look at your shan of Rahimi and Karimi. Look at the blood of my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam which flowed in Taif, in Uhud. Look at the tears of my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam which flowed for this ummah. And Ya Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. All the works of deen that are taking place, accept them. Tabdeeq wa da'wat ki mehnat qabool farma. Unke ijtemaat, gash, talim ko qabool farma. Masajid, madaris, khankao ki mehnat qabool farma. اے اللہ جتنے بھی دینی کام ہو رہا ہے سب کی حفاظت فرما کام کرنے والوں کو اخلاص کی توفیق سے مالا مال فرما Oh my beloved Allah when the time of our death comes don't let the angel of death find us in any kind of haram action take us to Madinah Tayyibah take us to Madinah Tayyibah bless us with shahadat in Madinah Tayyibah at the roza of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam With as-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah on our lips. Let our souls depart. Bless us with burial in Jannatul Baqi. Ya Allah, Nabi alayhi salatu was-salam, all his life he made duas for us. how much He begged for us. Bless us with all the goodness that He asked for us. Ya Allah, how much of suffering He underwent for the sake of the Ummah. Ya Allah, bless us with all the goodness that He asked for us. Bless the entire Ummah with all that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that He asked for protection, Ya Allah, protect us and the entire Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يَصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين